Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I am so excited to be here with you and to share this subject matter. Of course, I am missing Vrindavan very much and missing the devotees, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Srila Prabhupada's rooms, our retreat fellowship, and of course, I'm greatly missing being by the side of Giriraj.
So first of all, I would like to start off this presentation with a quote from Srila Prabhupada. It's a strong quote, but sometimes strong quotes are very necessary. He says, "It is compulsory. You cannot avoid Krishna Katha. If you avoid, then you are putting yourself in the dangerous cycle of birth and death. It is not fiction or whims. It is compulsory, imperative. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. If he does not, then he is risking his life." A very sober beginning to our presentation, but reminding us of the importance of hearing about Krishna and directing our attention away from the incredible, powerful, distracting elements of life in this world towards hearing about life in the spiritual world. So let me first begin by speaking a little bit about the Parikrama path. There is a pathway that goes all the way round and encircles Vrindavan. And that pathway has been trodden for centuries by pilgrims. When I first came to Vrindavan, that pathway was largely through a rural setting. There were trees on either side of the road, or there were walled gardens or ashrams. So I would step onto that path in Raman Reti, coming from our Krishna Balaram temple, and I would pass by the very well-known Krishna Balaram tree. And then I would proceed through a wooded area, a beautiful grove, and that would lead me gradually to the old Vrindavan riverbed. And as I was walking along that path, on one side, the side of the Jamuna, I would see farmland, agricultural land. Farmers were growing their crops. And on the other side were ashrams and temples. So one time in the early 90s, maybe it was 1993 or 4, there was a big flood of the Jamuna. And the waters of the Jamuna came right back into that original riverbed.
all the guts on the side that have been dry and separate from the river for so many years, all found themselves right beside the sacred waters. I was fortunate enough to get a photograph of this momentous occasion. The Parikrama path has gradually changed enormously. Now, by telling you this, I am not trying to awaken your ecological sentiments. That is there. But what I want to do is to introduce you to some of my favorite trees. When I would walk along the Parikram path, I noted that there were many old, well-known trees, and each one was connected in some way or another with Krishna. And seeing them inspired me to write a book about the trees. And one of the trees that inspired me the most was this one at Kaliaghat. So now we are here. First, I would like to show you pictures of that tree taken 20 years ago, and then we will move up to the present. Hey, Krishna.
Here, once, there was a tall Kadamba tree standing beside the Jamuna River. Now, Kadamba trees you can see in many parts of Vrindavan, and they have very tall, slender trunks. Their leaves are like oval-shaped and flat, and sometimes they're a little bit curved. And they have these beautiful flowers, very, very fragrant flowers, sometimes this big and sometimes that big. In the past, I have found seed pods beneath this Keli Kadamba tree. Now, there's a couple of things that you need to know when you approach sacred trees. The first one is never to pick any of the leaves or break off any of the branches, and heaven forbid, never scratch your name in the trunk of a sacred tree. The proper etiquette is to come, bow down, to carefully place your head at the feet of the tree, which is the roots of the tree, and to pray to the tree to give you some kind of blessings in bhakti or any other aspect of your life that you wish to be assisted with. This tree, this Kadamba tree, is very, very ancient, like an old warrior. Sometimes I liken this tree to Grandfather Bhishma in the Mahabharata, in the sense that it is old, so strong, so brave, so wise, and so wonderful that it is still present amongst us. But look at the formation of the bark of this tree, and you can see very clearly how ancient it is. You can see the ruts and the bumps and the formations that have come over hundreds of years, as well as the clusters of foliage here and there up in the tree. Silently, this great personality resides here for the well-being of the world. Now, this is one part of what I want to share with you, and of course, now that we are sitting here beside this beautiful Kadamba tree with its old, gnarled spiritual form, I would like to share with you a little bit about the Leela of Kaliya that took place here. So first of all, it is meant to free us from fear by hearing just how terrified the people of Vrindavan were. But they were not afraid of their own danger as we are. They were afraid that Krishna, who they loved as their everything, their life, that he was in danger. Their love disallowed them to think that he was the supreme source of shelter, and instead to cry aloud in grief at the possibility that anything could hurt him in any way, particularly the malice and the cruelty of Kaliya. You see, everybody in Vrindavan knew about Kaliya. They knew about this place. They knew how poisonous it was and how dangerous it was. And they never allowed the children to go anywhere near this place. So when they heard that Krishna had actually climbed up the top of this Kadamba tree and jumped down from its higher branches into that lethally poisonous murky lake, they had so much anxiety that they wanted to jump in the water themselves and save him. But then Krishna showed them that he was not in any danger. He released himself from the grip of Kaliya, who had caught him up in his coils, and instead he began an incredible dance. It was a Tandava dance, like Lord Shiva, a dance of destruction for Kaliya. But for the residents of Vrindavan, it was a delicate, superb, masterfully orchestrated concert of the finest order. They saw Krishna's dance, dancing from one head of Kaliya to another, to another, to another. They saw his dance with astonishment, and they wondered how he was so clever and how he was such a wonderful personality. They wondered how he could dance like that. And the devas came up in the sky with all their supernatural, divine instruments. And they hoped to be able to participate in this incredible event. After Kaliya was almost dead, smashed to pieces, head after head, beaten almost to the ground, he realized who it was who was performing this amazing concert on his heads. He was exhausted to the point of unconsciousness. When his wives, seeing that all the poison and the anger and the envy and the cruelty and the harshness and the hardness of heart and the bitterness and the nastiness and the envious snake-like character had become bent into submission, it was then that his wives decided to plea to Krishna to save the life of their husband. And Krishna did. But he also banished them. He told them that they had to leave. And he warned Kaliya never to be afraid of his enemy Garuda, because now he had marking his head the impression of the footprints of Krishna. But he had to leave. He had to leave that beautiful land of Braj. He had to go to the ocean. And then Krishna returned to the bank of the Jamuna, to the loving embrace of all his family and all his kinsmen and all the village of Braj. So there's something very important in this story. The first thing is that Krishna is dancing on the head of fear. He's dancing on the head of Kali's terrible characteristics that cause us all to be frightened of what will be coming or happening in the future. It's only intelligent to feel that way. So we need to come here to this place and pray to this Kelikadamba, this ancient tree, that please, please, please help me to become fearless. Help me to become a lover of Krishna. And help me to allow Krishna to drive out all the Kaliya-like characteristics from my heart. And I hope that I can surrender rather than have him beating on my head to do that. But if he has to beat on my head a little bit, then please help me to bow down as quickly as possible and thereby to be free of all these unwelcome qualities. So here we are together. So I'd like to read also some quotes to share with you, particularly that I find very inspiring about trees and inspiring about Vrindavan. I have uselessly spent countless lifetimes agitated with the cares of maintaining my material body, my home, my family, and my relatives. Even now, when I am supposed to be intelligent, I am still bewildered by such things. Oh, Vrindavan, your holy name is my only shelter. A person absorbed in the most wicked, sordid deeds, who once bows down to offer respects to a blade of grass in Vrindavan, at once becomes a very pious person. At the end of his life, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who has all power to unshackle him from the bonds of karma, he certainly attains the otherwise unattainable feat of Lord Sri Krishna. I eternally bow down to Vrindavan's trees and vines, which are far beyond the influence of matter, and which mercifully grant all the goals of life to one who even once touches, sees, hears about, or remembers them. Another wonderfully encouraging quote to give us an understanding of the magnitude of the benefit of approaching the trees in Vrindavan. So how can we become beyond matter? How can we become beyond fear, depression, anxiety, emptiness, loneliness? Well, the remedy is to hear about Krishna. It's to hear about Vrindavan and to hear about how these trees even are our well-wishing benefactors. And they care for us. Even if we are far away from Vrindavan now, they care for us because they have this ever blissful spiritual happiness that they want to give also to those who come close to them. So gradually, little by little, we can cross over this ocean of material entanglement and understand that we have a real home. And there's no depression, unhappiness, or morbidness there. And gradually, we can awaken to our real life. I would like to share with you also, before we finish talking about this sacred tree at Kaliyagat, I would like to tell you what that tree actually looks like. The Kadamba tree on the eastern shore of Kaliya Lake is very glorious. The wise saints have seen many wonders in that tree. That sacred tree has 100 branches. It is very sweetly fragrant. It bears many flowers all 12 months of the year. It gives very pleasing shade and it fills all 10 directions with a light. So with our mortal eyes, we cannot see this tree. We see, nonetheless, a glorious tree, a wonderful tree, a transcendental personality. But we see a tree that looks like trees of this world. And it's easy to forget that now, while we're looking at this tree, we're in Vrindavan. We're not in any other place. And the trees in Vrindavan each have a spiritual form that's visible only to those whose eyes have become cleared of the dust or the cover of the mirror, the dirt, the powdery dust all over the mirror of our heart. And when that is cleansed away, then we can see Vrindavan as it really is. Our anxiety should be, how can I develop my bhakti? How can I become a genuine, strong, secure, humble devotee? So these are the kind of things. This is the kind of thing that we pray for when we approach this wonderful tree at Kaliyagat. You can read this story in the Krishna book, the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can find a photo online of this wonderful tree, place it on your altar, place it in your room, pray to this tree, and you'll be amazed at the result. And next time you're in Vrindavan, take your arms and go there and embrace this tree for all your worth and pray that somehow pure love for Krishna may find a place in my heart. So thank you for so kindly coming and sitting down with me for some time so that the trees can tell their stories. See you tomorrow night.